The question specifically, is retirement working? Is retirement working? By the way, is retirement changing? Is our understanding of it changing? All these different things. And so our three participants are Ann Ring, Karen Ackerson, and Margaret Taylor. And we didn't get together to figure out who was going to go first or anything like that. So would one of you like to volunteer?
I'll go ahead, but okay. I can get it over with and relax, right?
I was really hoping we'd have somebody up here younger, but so we could I'm getting there really quick. But I think that my views on retirement are really kind of one-sided because of who I've chosen to have around me a lot. I work with senior exercise in Wenatchee. I'm with seniors a lot. I work on elder hostel, and so I plan programs. The agreement I made with the college was, yes, I will plan elder hostels for you as long as I get to go on them and be there. Because some coordinators don't get to. They set it up and then they send someone else to be an on-site coordinator. And I wanted to get in on the fun part. So I have set up things and have older people around me. And my views on that have changed immensely because of that. But I have a feeling that that's because I'm around the cream of the crop. I'm around people who choose to continue working, who choose to continue being effective. They choose to keep going, to keep learning, and that's how I view it to be. I do make a point. I also teach a class in a nursing home, and I am aware of what happens and can see people who have given up, people who don't have a plan or a desire or something to work towards. Because age range, I have many people in my classes that are the same age as these people in the nursing home who are going downhill rapidly. The age is the same. And my other groups that I meet with are off on this trip, off to this area to help build whatever. So it's like I want to remind myself, if I don't work towards that, have things that I want to do on out in front of me, that this could happen to me. If I don't keep myself moving by working, I don't know if it would be different as far as having lots of money and just going to play. Never had that experience. So I have worked in my own, I look ahead at my retirement as having to work my way through to some of those things that I look at as fun. I'm going to have to work my way there. Work my way while I am there to pay my way because we haven't made a lot of money. And that's okay. I know physically I need to do that in order to keep myself going. So that's kind of the way I view what's coming up.
Okay, thank you, Karen. I hear a very positive view, although warning, you have to keep kind of working at it, and some seem to fall out of that defective pattern. Margaret, why don't we turn next to you, shall we?
Well, I don't have anything special, except that I think that my husband and I had a big house in Fresno, and it came more and more difficult to take care of all the things that a house requires. And he also got close to having to have a wheelchair and would have to fix over a lot of the house. So we had to think of a plan B. And I think it's always good to have a plan B that you accept, that you research as to what kind of a retirement place you'll be, so that you don't let that suddenly land on you and maybe your daughter or your niece or someone will say, oh, you should go there. It helps to choose where you're going to go for your next move. We have people, I've been in two retirement places now, one in Fresno and now I'm in Spokane. And the ones who have a real tough time are the ones who said, well, my niece thought I should get here. I had to sell all my house, and they're in resentment. And it's very hard. They have a double whammy of adjustment. So everyone who has looked over and decided where they're going to be, it's a great help. There are retirement places that are subsidized. There are a whole bunch of them, and then there are a lot where you can see the relative prices that they charge. But I think that one, I'm very happy in the one in Spokane because it's within walking distance of a Safeway. It's about five blocks, and in that Safeway, you can buy stamps and you can. The bank, that's called a C-First Bank, it's the Bank of America, but somehow in Washington they call it C-First. But S-E-A, it's a funny word, C-First. But that there it's in Safeway, and then I can just go four blocks to a Kinko and Xerox anything I want. And I trot over there, and you know, it's so easy to run those things. And I'm very happy because when I don't want to carry home a load, the van goes three times a week, and I can always either meet the van, put it on the van, and still walk home, or if the weather's bad, I have the van, which is a big help. So that you keep independent. And then they really bring some very interesting programs to the, most of these retirement places do have. And we also have exercises good. Monday, Wednesday, good. And Friday. And they're not up to Karen's, but we do have, and it's surprising. I think there are about 170 in this big retirement place, and only about 20 come for exercises. Mm-hmm. They don't push you. You're independent, but it's just really sad that more people don't make use of the many things that are there to help you. Maybe that's enough. If you have any questions about retirement, I'm glad to tell. But
okay, well, Margaret, that's a pretty positive view, too. But planning ahead
yeah.
and making some choices.
Yes,
and
definitely.
I wish my wife were here. You know, we live three blocks from a, not a Safeway, but a Ralph's, and she's never walked there.
Really?
How do you walk five blocks? Wow, that's great.
Especially if you're carrying six bags of groceries.
Maybe so.
I do have a cart, a little two-wheel cart. And that helps. I still drive. I got my driver's license in Washington. But 4 years. That takes me into the 90s.
One of you men would be prepared after we get through the panel to kind of give some male thoughts on this. I was surprised we didn't end up with a man on the panel, but
he was
somehow we didn't do that.
So are we.
But there may be another point of view. I don't know. Well, then we'll turn to Ann.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about volunteering. I do a lot of that, and it's neat. In Ellensburg, it's a rather unique town. We have a university there. One of the big organizations is RSVP, and they do a lot. But there are so many opportunities to volunteer with hospital guilds, in the schools, I don't know about your schools, but our schools are always asking for people to come and listen to the children read, especially the small ones that, excuse me, that may have reading problems. There's always things to do in your church. We have a group of little ladies that call themselves the Wild Bunch. Yes, they are part of a Thursday morning Bible study, but they do a lot of things. They're all alone. They're all ladies that are alone. There are two or three of them that drive. But they show up at the concerts. They show up at the lectures. They always go out for Sunday brunch. They're always finding people that might be alone. One of the worst things I thought of this heat this summer in Chicago were the people that died. There were something like 70 in a pauper's graves that nobody, they had nobody.
Yeah.
And I realized living in Chicago is not like living in Ellensburg, but to be so frightened and not know a soul that you could call. There's an organization in Ellensburg that if you need to be called, there's somebody on the telephone in the morning making sure you're up, making sure you're out of bed, that you're all right. They'll call you at night. There are people that check on people. There's just all kinds of volunteers. You could volunteer in an art gallery, which is one of the things I do, which is really fun. They're just a lot of things. And when people retire, it's, oh, what am I going to do? Well, I've never done that before. And you just need to get, I don't know, just get out and get with some people that do those kinds of things. If you've worked all your life, you haven't had time to volunteer. I was fortunate that I didn't have to do that. A lot of the volunteering that was done when I was a young woman was done by women my age who did not work outside the home. PTA, all those kinds of things. But you don't find young women, very many of them. You do find some, but not very many that do that sort of thing anymore because they have jobs. Mm-hmm. So it's people my age that don't volunteer for PTA, but we do volunteer. There are a lot of volunteers in the school system, and that helps make it run. So there are lots of things that you can think to do, and it's not just women. I see a lot of gentlemen around town. There's a group of people that work at the hospital in the gardens. They have a rose garden at the hospital. They do the grounds at the hospital. They'll do grounds in various assorted places around the city. The city will always plant a garden, but then it's, oh dear, we have to take care of it kind of attitude. And there are lots of little gardens, they call them nodes, at the ends of streets that people take on and take care of. So they're, I don't know what your towns are like, but I'm sure that there must be things for you to do. Volunteer work, if nowhere but in your church. Good grief. That's my pitch. Keeping busy.
Thanks, Ann. So did I hear you saying that you find that people that do step forward to volunteer tend to be the more energetic ones and seem to be enjoying their lives more?
Sometimes, but there are a lot of people that just are sitting and thinking, well, I need something to do, and they will timidly. But those of us that do volunteer have to keep an eye out and say to somebody, we need somebody to come and help on this particular project. Why don't you try? And sometimes that's all it takes. Mm-hmm. If you wait for them to come to you, not all the time, no. But you know your churches well enough. You know who does things and who doesn't. And sometimes it just takes a little hint or a hand on the shoulder and say, well, we're going to do this. We have eight ladies in our church, and we have a membership, an active membership of about 200, 250, give or take a Sunday. These eight ladies are all in their late 60s and 70s. They meet every Wednesday. They call themselves the quilting group, and you do not mess with the quilting group. You don't change their room. They make about 350 quilts a year. some of which stay in Ellensburg for people that need help there. Most of them go to Lutheran World Relief. And they have a ball. They really do, and they love to have people come and help. So there are lots of things like that.
Well, you've heard the panel. If there's, we're going to throw for questions or comments or disagreements or alternative views or additional views. Somebody had a real disagreement with one of the speakers. I'd like to hear it. But who would like to kick off first? Anything that you would like to share?
Jared?
Yes.
I'm not going to speak for men, not that, but...
You're going to speak for women?
No. I would be for women, but... It seems to me that over the years that seniors have gotten a bad rep in terms of being set in their ways and not willing to take risks and so forth. My experience over the years, even before I was retired, was that often the people in a congregation who are most willing to take risks and who are most willing to put new wine into old wineskins are in fact the older people. Part of that, I think, is because we have less to lose. I've been impressed with that, and that is, I know it's true in our congregation that a number of the older people are willing to try just about anything, and are some of the most interesting, fascinating, energetic people in the whole congregation. Something happens to you at midlife that you get set in your ways, but then when you get older, you get unset. So I want to make a plug for those of us who are older, we're far ahead.
How many of you would share that view that oftentimes it's the elderly folks who are most open to risk? And how many found that true?
Not in our church.
I found that for many folks, they don't have to set example for the kids anymore in the same way.
One of the examples I remember is we were having a very special service, and one of the beautiful young women in our congregation was going to do an interpretive dance to the Lord's Prayer. And our choir at that time was all in the back, and this one lady, dancing in the church, I should sing it. And she was just really, and so she was sitting next to me, and there was another lady on the other side of her, and we looked at her and we said, well, you know, we're not going to let you out, so you're going to have to watch it. By the time it was over with, she thought it was absolutely beautiful. But she'd been raised in the Lutheran Free Church, and I don't know anything about that, but maybe some of you do, and it was very strict.
Some of the rest of us used to call it the Lutheran Unfree Church.
Was that it? Well, I don't know anything about the Lutheran Free Church, but that was her background, and she was most upset until she saw it.
I just want to say that it's people like Karen who make Elder Hostel such an exciting experience.
I have a good time.
Yeah, you do.
I'm having a good time. Mm-hmm. I think we're very fortunate to have people. I don't know whether there's another like Karen, but she is really tops with what she's doing. I hope she'll have tapes for people. I think it's very important for her to work to be known more.
And I think it's very important for people like you to share how you've continued to keep going, to be out there for those younger people to see doing what you're doing, so that they realize and that becomes their impression of what it is to be like. My husband has done nothing but come to breakfast with my group off and on, and he has also changed his entire attitude about retirement. I mean, you guys are having fun all the time, you know, and it's like we can't wait to get out there and work on what we'd like to be working on instead of what we have to be doing in our everyday work situations. And that's what, but I know that that's what I see, because of what I do.
I'd just like to pick up that last point of what you have to do in your work. Some people enjoy what they are doing in their work very much, and it's kind of Lutheran to think of a service to God through your vocation. And I think that there is a strong possibility of becoming age 62 or becoming age 65 or any one of those ages, and taking a change of pace in your vocation. But, you know, if it's something that you're enjoying, perhaps keeping up that vocation instead of saying, now it's time to do gardening or something like that, which you may not enjoy. And if you have skills that have developed over a period of years, to continue to use those skills.
I think that's a very, very important point. It's just maybe a shift in vocations. But I tell you, the 60s and the 70s are wonderful. The 80s have a whole lot of problems. But enjoy being 60 or 70. And it's a big mistake, in a way, to think I'm a senior citizen. Well, they put it at 50, don't they? Sometimes say you're... Good heavens. But my son is 62, and he's just busy every minute. I couldn't get him to come pick me up until Sunday because he had to go to something Saturday. I don't know, he's off somewhere. But we're both very independent. I just see him occasionally. He's in Spokane, that's why I moved up there. But it's nice to know you have a relative. It means a great deal. If you, even if you have an aunt, a niece, if you're the aunt, some people just have a grandchild, but you do need to have one of the family who knows that they're going to fight for you if you ever get stuck in a hospital. I was married to an orthopedic surgeon, and I want you to know, he never wanted to get in the hospital. And you get into a hospital, and boy, they're just after you. And just be careful. I had to just fight the doctors, stay away, he doesn't want to. You should have seen me, and they'd say, well, that's the same as saying I'm going to kill him, and I said, no, he should have a private room, and get him out of intensive care, get a private room, and let him take the tubes out, and I just had an awful time, but it was the Easter weekend when so many... his own doctor wasn't there. You know, everyone went off for the Easter holidays. And so we had just staff doctors, and those are the ones I had a tough time with. But do be near somebody who will fight for you and say, we have durable power of attorney and all that kind of stuff. But you have to still be there personally.
Amen. Has anybody heard of Elders for Justice? No, I'm serious. Yeah. It's a group out of Minneapolis. It's a Lutheran originated group. I'm a member of it. Anybody? Ed? It's a group of people, and it's very loose, but they have a mailing about every 3 or 4 months or something like that. And I think it costs all of $10, $5, or whatever you like to send them. But one of the things they advocate, they say most seniors are in a relatively healthy position, or many of them are. Many of us are, not all. But then we get 10, 20% discounts.
I was going to say,
places.
You meant healthy position as far as financially.
Yeah, financially, yeah. Primarily. Yeah. And so they've advocated one of the things that we could do if, you know, why should I get it when I'm better off than a lot of kids and all? They suggest every time you get a discount, put that money aside, save it, and then contribute it in some way to the aid of something that'll aid, parents that aren't doing well, or a single parent with a child, or something like that. Sound like a good idea. We've put some of that into practice.
Were you going to say something?
Well, I was just when you brought that up. It reminded me when I first started working with the YMCA. They had a policy as to what they charged for an exercise class, and they didn't have a senior price. And when we figured out we like to have this exercise class that we were offering for seniors a long enough period of time for them to realize what happens to them if they stick to it that long. And you were talking $70-some, according to their fee scale. Mm. And I remember proposing to them, why don't you make a sliding fee scale? Let's drop it down to 40, 270. Well, nobody will ever pay the top part, you know. And I said, okay, I'm willing to, you know, take my cut. Are you willing to take your cut? You know, worked it out with them. And they were amazed at how many people. A couple came in and paid that up front because they could afford to pay that. And there were quite a few that, as the class progressed and towards the end, came in and asked if they could pay the rest.
Isn't it so?
And it's like, you know, why don't they give people the choice of? Of course, there are a lot of people, I mean, I see this, that can definitely afford it. And they're in there trying to get the cheapest price they can get just because I think that there it was a certain time when that was the thing to do.
And I think all of us grew up in the time of the Depression. Maybe some of you are too young to know that. But, it was very hard starting out, and we saved every little piece of string and every little piece of paper, everything. Because we started out, I was married to a minister in 32, and that was still heavy. And I think that it made us, from the start of being on our own, of realizing, wowie, we got to be careful and always have enough money. And it is a scary thing with prices going up and the price when you hear about these nursing homes. So I think that older people really have a right to be very careful of their funds.
Mm-hmm. We learned how to do most things without money.
Yeah, lack of expense, that was it. Mm-hmm.
Didn't need money.
Some additional.
Well, at the risk of saying something negative, I haven't had any difficulty keeping busy. I've been retired more or less 15 years and have had four jobs since then in that time. But one of the problems I see is that whereas women are generally much better at this than men, single men, like myself, find it difficult to meet men and women with whom they have a lot in common.
I don't think I found it.
Somebody like to react to that or comment?
I couldn't get just what your point was. My hearing isn't too good, but what was that last question that you had?
While many women don't have this problem.
Yeah.
Many single men, I think, like myself,
yes,
have difficulty in finding other single men and women with whom they have a lot in common.
I'm very concerned about, I thought that was it, but I wasn't quite sure. But I find, especially in nursing homes, it is simply stupid in a way where we were brought up in a generation that you don't talk to a man as a woman and not as a person to person. They've been brought up very strictly, I think, some of these people. But having been a minister's wife and being open anyway, I really feel for the men who come in single, and some of them are not very attractive, but they are so lonely. They are, and nobody will talk to them, and it's stupid, absolutely stupid, that you have to carry over this teenage feeling
that you weren't supposed to approach.
Yeah, you weren't supposed to. I think anyone who comes by you should say hello to. It doesn't matter whether it's a man or woman. It's a person. We're all like cut flowers and stuck in this great vase of a retirement place. And I think we've got to just see people as a person to person. So if you are aware of it, just don't let it eat into you. Just go and say hello. People have got to learn to get over that sentimental, I don't know what it is. Nobody wants to get married at this age.
This is one reason that I've gone to 5 elder hostels in the last 4 months.
Yeah, it'd be good.
And plan to go to at least one every 2 months.
Mm-hmm. That's a great thing, that elder hostel business, because you see everyone getting along fine.
That's another thing about volunteering, because then you're doing something that you like, and so are the other people doing that thing which you like too. So volunteering can be an avenue for meeting other people who have your same interests.
I'd like to ask the brother over there, you said you have 4 jobs since you retired. Did you select?
No, I'm a retired Methodist pastor, and I've had 4 pastorates since I retired.
4 pastorates, okay. Did any of those assist you, or did they make it even worse in your desire to have other human beings with whom you could talk, even though you were now a single man?
Well, I haven't had difficulty finding different human beings with whom I could talk. I'm saying
common
single people with whom I have a lot in common. I find it very difficult to find those.
Have the 4 elder hostels you've been to been supplying that, or are they wanting too?
Oh, yes and no. I don't know how to deal with that.
Are you so uncommon that no one would have a common?
This could well be.
No, with a sense of humor like that.
Funny Methodist.
I'm still trying to make exercise fun for him.
Let me be a devil's advocate for a minute. I just don't think there should be anything like retirement. I think there are so many retired people, elderly people, they're a power block in our society. Art practically dictates legislation. Here you got all a big segment of society, and they're living longer and longer, and there's going to be more and more of them that are sitting there, not productive in our society. I think all this should change.
Qualify not productive.
Yeah.
Define not productive.
Well, they don't pay taxes the same way that if they were working, they don't pay Social Security.
They've already paid Social Security. And they do pay taxes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Granted, if they'd taken their Social Security money and put it in a bank, they probably would have had more. But they didn't.
And the young people that are coming out trying to get jobs don't want you taking jobs away from them.
That's right.
So as far as still working, meaning getting paid for it, just thought I'd throw that in.
Well, I listened to a young man on public radio about 3 weeks ago, and he was at a conference, and he was saying this same thing. And what irritated me the most, I was driving and I was listening to this. I always try to listen to something that's irritating when I'm driving. It keeps me awake. But he said, AARP. Who's ever heard of AARP? And I thought, Sonny, you don't have to be snide. And he was being snide. He was just being... But he was saying the same thing that you said. Only he brought in the Medicare and all that.
And I have something else. I have this bone to pick. What is it with senior centers that you walk in and it's like, you, anybody there? Or is it just, I happen to be involved with one that's having trouble getting started? I mean, somebody will call me up, well, I want my mother to come to your class, but she doesn't want to go where all those old people are. And I go, how old's your mother? She's 84.
That's right.
her there. If she doesn't want to be with us, so we can get liven up some of those old people, you know. And yet, I mean, you can go to, and there's another, I think it's a, what is Garden Terrace?
It's a retirement home.
Retirement home, but it's government funded somehow.
Partially.
And I went in there to do a demonstration one time, and it was like, this group just came alive. And I thought, why don't you guys go down to the senior center, would you? You know, wake people up. What do you do? They're busy fighting with each other. They're busy, I mean, they get so zeroed in on, and yet it's like in Wenatchee, unfortunately, there have been these three factions that started off, and no matter what, there are still these three, I mean, they want it done their way, and they want it done their way, and they want it done their way. And it's just this constant. How do you dispel that?
Senior centers.
Yeah, right.
We can't afford one.
Ours isn't that way. Ours, they just have a grand time, and it's packed with people. Mm-hmm. They play all kinds of games. They have pool tables. They have noon dances after they have their lunch, and their lunch is, I'm told, wonderful. You know, so I think it depends on how it's coordinated.
Well, that was the only thing I thought was they've hired a director who was involved from the start. And I thought they needed to hire somebody completely outside that was willing to come in and say, well, no, but we're not going to do it that way anymore. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing, the only advice that I have given them of something that I need to maybe change. Bring somebody in and let them make up some of the rules.
It can be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what can I ask? What is a senior center? What does that mean?
What is a senior? This our senior center is a physical place for them to gather. They provide economical meals at lunchtime and try to provide activities. Four.
And he's run by churches mostly? Mm.
No.
Oh, it's a community.
It's a community.
It's not residential. Nobody lives there, right?
No.
Right.
No.
So they come every day, and do they pay a certain fee per month or something like
no.
this?
No. I mean, if there's an activity and it needs some funds to do that, then they, you know, put in their dollar, whatever. They pay, I think, isn't it $2 and something for lunch or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Ours does trips. Mm-hmm. Field trips mm-hmm. when the King Tut was in Seattle, they took two or three. They always take a van to the garden show when they have it there. They learn line dancing. The meals, I think the meals are one of the most important things mm-hmm. because it gets a lot of people who would be by themselves that don't know how to cook or don't want to or maybe can't very well. And it gets them with other people. They talk, they visit, and they eat.
We were blessed to be able to retire when Roger was only 54 because he put in 30 years with the state of Oregon. But in the volunteer work that we have been doing and with the people that I find I admire, they don't have time for a senior center. We work with Habitat for Humanity. We have a gentleman who's in his 80s. He had a stroke a few weeks back, and within 2 weeks of his stroke, he was out limping around the job site. There was another gentleman in his late 70s, fell, I don't know how many feet from a roof, shortened himself by 2 or 3 inches. He's back on the job. We've worked with Mennonite Disaster Service, where there have been numerous people, single and couples, in their 70s and 80s. They don't have time to sit around and eat lunch and play cards and dance.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody is that healthy. Not every senior citizen
is that healthy. That's what I'm saying. These people aren't all that. But they're pushing themselves to stay.
Yeah.
To stay on the top and do things.
Well, most of the people that I know of that go there do things. But this is something else that they do.
Mm-hmm. And it serves a real purpose for those who are not really ready or able to do.
Yeah.
Some people who have never done those kinds of activities that you were talking about, those kinds of involvements, that they could do some of the things in a senior center.
Do you have any of you have suggestions of things that you've seen happen in congregations where elderly people are able to give some kind of service, do something? An example, in my former congregation, the seniors saw a lot of people being unemployed, and they decided they would be a resource to the unemployed. And they gave counseling, how do you draw up a resume? They would, different ones had skills, ex-engineers or teachers or whatever, help them to think about where they might find work, link them up to people in the congregation. It was a very helpful thing. Have you seen things in your congregations where the seniors are doing something meaningfully of service?
That has been started in our community, peer counseling and asking that the retired people, older people come and learn how to do that as a companionship kind of thing. But I see no reason why that couldn't be done in churches very easily.
We have quite a big food bank in our church, and we're always bringing food, and then there are certain days when the women are in charge, and it's been going for quite a number of years. But in Fresno, we did a lot with English second language with Hmong families, especially that were just inundating the valley. And it was really just a beautiful service. I enjoyed English second language.
Any other examples?
I haven't seen this happen, but I read about it, and I think it would be very good. This would be especially a congregation that has some retired professional people in it. So often the church could do great evangelism if it served the people around it. And I know our congregation has apartment houses where there are single mothers who have all kinds of needs. You know, if you could get together some, and maybe you could gather them from other congregations, but there would be attorneys who could help with the legal problems people have. The kids in the youth group could change oil in the automobiles for some, you furnish the oil, we'll change it for you. A place for these mothers to get together where somebody at night, where somebody would babysit the kids and the mothers could talk about their problems. I think our churches would be filled if we organized to do that sort of thing.
Heard of a congregation that had volunteer grandmothers and grandfathers. Mm-hmm. The children in the area that didn't have a grandparent near them, and that's many, many people, parents that have children, they have no grandparent around. They get a grandparent who spends an hour or two a week with this family they're totally unrelated to, but they're their substitute grandparent. It's great for both of them.
Yeah, I've worked with the public school systems with students who are called underachievers. And these are kids who, for one reason or another, have the ability, but they're not able to do the work. And we did bring in senior citizens. And it's amazing. The student looks at the senior citizen as someone they can talk to, someone who will listen to them, and maybe teach them something. Math, English, spelling, or something. But mainly just giving that student a chance to talk to an older person who will listen to them. And the seniors would come in and say, well, I never was good at spelling, and I can't teach spelling. Or I was never good at math. And we found out it wasn't really the subject. It was just sitting and with the student and having this boy or girl.
You.
And that was did a world of good. So don't ever be held back because you don't think you did well in school. That's not the point. The point is your presence. Just your presence. So I really encourage people to do that.
That's a fantastic idea. Yeah.
I have a suggestion as far as getting to know some people that are interested in the same things you like. have you considered not only through your church, but maybe at a YMCA or offering to teach something that you are interested in? And in that case, meeting people, I mean, they would come because they were interested in whatever that topic was, and start basis from there.
I've done some of that at a senior center.
And it might be that you'll have to go out where you won't just get seniors, you'll get other people. I mean, that's what I'm also suggesting to our senior center, that they open it up. We now have, once a month, we have line dance parties for families. They can come and not have smoke and not have booze and have a real healthy place, and they've been really fun. So,
great. Our campus ministry had an adopt-a-student program where you, as a member of the congregation, adopted a college student, and then the college student was invited to your house for dinner, or it was a place to come and read. But then the college student knew that they might be asked to rake leaves, they might be asked to help wash windows or put up storm windows or that sort of thing. And that worked out very well. We don't have campus ministry anymore. We do still have a lot of college students, but it was, I don't know whether campus ministry is even alive anymore, is it? And that's something that we could do again, just with some college students. It doesn't require a lot of their time.
Sounds great. I was a campus minister for 15 years. Congregations could be campus ministers. They ought to be.
Well, that's what we tried to do. The campus ministry was based out of First Lutheran. It wasn't for a while. It was in a building up on the campus, but the last campus pastor we had was Dick Borud, and it was his idea that the ministry should come out of First Lutheran, and it worked much better. And while he was director, we had a really good campus ministry, but the National Church doesn't seem to think it's important anymore, and they put the money where they think it's important, and so it's...
National Church also doesn't have all the money.
No, that's right. They don't.
There was a hand way back there.
Our congregation works with several others to provide breakfast for the homeless. We have a very rather large homeless population in Austin, and that's something that we do. We give to the food bank too, but actually the people come to our...
Have you seen that work?
Oh yes, I think it works. There's a lot of people that come, yes.
Great.
Our church has a directory, I think all churches have a directory, but we have an appendix, and it lists people in the congregation who will do services for others. Like there's a lady who will shorten trousers for a small fee. She's an older lady, and it's a nice income for her, and there's other gentlemen that will help with taxes, and it's not always for free, but I mean, sometimes they charge, but it's a way to get seniors a job, I mean, a little extra money.
Great. Yeah.
There's a church in Seattle that I'm told there's funding provided so that no person ever will have to not be able to get to church. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that any person will have transportation, taxi will come and get them, so that they can keep involved in some companionship in the life of the church.
Great.
This is a very important matter, I think, because I think it's really a growing spiritual time when we can... there's so many new things, and the church offers reading rooms or also stimulation from just being in the services. But at the retirement place where I am, there's a Lutheran band that comes and a Methodist band and a Christian band, and it's really wonderful for those people to get to the church. And so either way, but they do turn out, and I think it's terribly important as we get older, to be sure to get to church, because there's so much that helps us to keep growing. I just, even here, right here this week, I have had such a joy over new things that I have been hearing. Oh, I have these notes and I'm going to show them to my son and I'm going to show some to my minister. I just think you never get, you just keep growing and growing spiritually. It is simply fascinating. We used to think way back that, you know, person who, I don't know, I always thought people knew a lot earlier. I can remember my father was a minister, and I asked him a question once about life after death, and he said, he kind of hedged around and said, well, I don't know. I was so surprised, I thought my father knew everything. And you never know everything. And I just think it's a big adventure when you have a little more time to really keep growing spiritually. Nothing as important as that.
I have a cousin back in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, who's a member of an organization. She's called upon maybe once every couple of weeks to participate in it. They have lined up places like farmers markets, supermarkets, large restaurants, where in a large restaurant, a surplus of something prepared isn't going to be used tomorrow, normally goes into the rubbish. Mm-hmm. The restaurant notifies this group, the group picks it up and it's transferred to needy places. Mm-hmm. Farmers market stuff that isn't quite fit to sell tomorrow morning, mm-hmm. they pick it up and it's distributed. And I can't tell you how much I admire somebody who thought that up and put it into organization. I thought it was great.
Great.
There's a lot of it available. It's all free. And it all goes from junk to good use.
Mm-hmm. That's what the food bank in Great Falls does. And we have quite a few community-spirited people that are business people. And several of the leading stores and some of the leading attorney, they are very active. 10% of our budget goes for outreach in Great Falls. Mm. So we have all these things that you're talking about. We have the Homes for Humanity and senior citizens is something else again.
Great.
I mean, it's partially what you're talking mm-hmm. about. Some people are so changing.
Folks, you want to share something? You got just a short bit, so come up with it fast. Any final comments you'd like to make?
There are no excuses.
No excuses. I heard that. Margaret?
Well, I think that it's a very creative way, and you can't really say this is the way to do it, but each person can share as they grow along. And it's going to be a larger and larger group, and we've got to see that these people can be fruitful and do things. And also keep growing. It's a very important field, this increasingly large mass of people that are going to live for a longer time.
Yeah.
So. Let me ask Karen a question. I believe you were the one who mentioned somewhere in your talk that some place you were dealing with had three factions.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you deal with each faction trying to produce its own power structure? Mm-hmm. One of your suggestions was turned down. Get somebody else to tell them, stop it, do it this way. Mm-hmm. Other than that, what can you do? Down in Florida, we have this in the Condo Commandos.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting name. What is that?
Condo Commandos.
I love the name.
Condo Commandos.
You get a condo of 100 plus families being run by four or five.
on the committee that runs things for the Conference.
Okay.
They will come up with regulations that you wouldn't believe. I mean, somebody has lived there for 5 years with a seeing eye dog, and all of a sudden they decide they can't have any dogs. Things like that.
Yeah.
How do you fight them?
Vote them out.
They're on the things that have been voted in.
Well, I know one thing that I do is I show up in numbers. I mean, I've convinced my exercise group, who has met at a church for, but we, you know, the class is taught through the college, but we meet at a church, that, you know, we need to go over here. We need to do some of our things over here to liven up this group, you know. And that's helped a little, and when we get, and we are met with some resistance. I suppose in some cases we just ignore them. And we go ahead and do our thing. And there's this, you know, here's this whole group of people having a good time and getting their exercise and doing these things. And so if you feel like you need to complain about it, it kind of falls on deaf ears. And, but, you know, we're only so many too. So I don't know how to help the other people that are trying to do their thing.
If anybody is a movie producer, I wish you would put a script together and then zero in on Margaret and have her get into a movie as an example of what retirement and senior citizens and what life can be. That would be felt. That would just inspire people. What I heard is being retired, being senior can be rather exciting if you got imagination and curiosity and go out there and get it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Should be something to celebrate. Mm-hmm. I also heard one other thing. It isn't just younger people that should be hearing the message, you know, when we end the service saying, go in peace now and serve the Lord. But by golly, all the retirees and the seniors, that may be part of the key of a successful retirement.